on the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. It is Tuesday, October 3rd. Greg Bach is on the board, and I'm so excited to be joined again by our friend and colleague, Dominic Salvia of Devil's Advocates Radio. You're going to hear him again this afternoon from 4 to 6.
Hey, Jane. Thank you once again. It's a privilege to join you on the airwaves,
it's
always.
It's a delight to have you here. All kinds of things coming up today. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be joining us at 10:30. And Carmen Petrie from Sojourner Family Peace House will be joining us at 11 o'clock to talk about October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So if you have questions, please text them in. You can always call and or text at 844-967-2789. We're going to talk about the news in just a little bit. I want to do a little, I guess we would call it housekeeping initially. Tomorrow, it's only a test, and you have to do it because it's going to happen to you anyway. There is a Federal Emergency Management Agency and the FCC are holding a test of the emergency alert system at approximately 1:20 tomorrow on Wednesday, October 4th.
Is that Central Time?
That is Central Time.
All right.
So essentially, the EAS will notify all radio and TV producers, cable systems, satellite radio, TV providers, and wireline video producers. Broadcast TV and radio will be interrupted across the country. That it is a nationwide test of the emergency alert system. Cell phones, this means your cell phone, will get the warning as a tone, a vibration, and a text message. So this is going to happen. Don't freak out. It's going to happen tomorrow at around 1:20 p.m. And it's just to test the, I called it the EBS. It used to be the emergency broadcast system. Now it's the emergency alert system. If you want to take a different look at this, Dominic, on Twitter, today, I just happened to see someone post this. It's
well, if it's on Twitter, it must be true, of course. Right.
Posted by Vaxxers Anti. It says the feds are going to crank up the 5G towers on the 4th under the guise of an EBS test. This will activate the 5G graphene oxide nanobots in the vaccinated, unleashing the Marburg virus and creating a vaccinated zombie apocalypse.
Wow. That's very detailed.
It is very detailed. Okay.
Countdown to zombie? I don't want to be a zombie.
Well, I don't know. Apparently you don't have a choice, Dominic, because it's going to happen to you tomorrow at 1:20.
Well, why would the powers that be? I mean, wait. I mean, if this has always been there, I mean, you could just crank them up here and there randomly. I mean, what is it about this particular test, this particular time that would make it happen?
That's a really good point.
I'm just throwing
it. Why wouldn't they just roll it out?
Right.
You know, in waves. But no, we're all going to get zombified, at least those of us who are vaccinated. And by the way, I remain really irritated. I am still not magnetic.
All right. Wasn't that a thing?
I was promised that if I got vaccinated, I would become magnetic, and that has not happened
yet. I saw it on the internet. People were holding things up, and it was sticking to them.
The key sticks to my forehead. That's because you're sweaty. Right. But anyway, tomorrow, 1:20, don't be surprised when your phone goes off with this alert. It is just a test, and I think you can relax that you're not going to be zombified.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I feel fairly confident in saying
so
that.
No more just broadcast. Now this is the alert because now it includes these other items, right?
Not just
the broadcast networks.
Not just the networks, cell phones, and all that stuff. So it's going to happen tomorrow, 1:20. Don't freak out. Another thing that we're excited about is especially Greg Bach, Brewers baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Playoff baseball, baby, gets going tonight.
I am very excited. I wish I could go to the game, but I think we can crush the Diamondbacks.
I do.
I think we could crush them back to their original form, the Arizona Coalbacks.
Nice. I see what you did
even,
there.
Even without Brandon Woodruff, because that was the big announcement yesterday.
Yeah, he's out for a shoulder injury, which is upsetting, but we still have a very strong and deep pitching base to choose from. So we will miss him. That will be an integral part of the team missing, but I think that we can make up for it with strong bats, good defense, and I have all the hope in the world. Especially after reading that article we talked about yesterday, even though he crushed the hopes and dreams of Milwaukee being a big old city.
Oh, right.
Listen to yesterday's show on the podcast. You can download all shows as a podcast, by the way, wherever you get your podcasts. But Milwaukee has a very good team.
We can make this happen.
We're
folks.
Doing this.
We're doing
We're
this.
We're doing this. This here. This is big, man. Yep. Milwaukee's in the playoffs. So is this I'm not clear, Greg. Maybe you can help me out. Best of five?
This is best of three.
Best of three.
Yeah, best of three.
Best of three for wild card. NLDS and NLCS are both best of fives. And then, as we know, best of seven for the big game.
And if you want to listen to the game, you can catch the game. Tune in to Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM throughout the Fox Valley. 1100 AM is home to in Sun Prairie, large station there. Flagship Brewer Station for Civic Media. You can also catch the crew on WRCE News from the center in Richland Center at 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. So go crew.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll come back possibly that'll be Thursday when we come back in a zombified state and find out how they've done.
Right. Will we care?
You're right. We'll all be zombies.
What will be the what do zombies watch for entertainment?
They watch Walking Dead.
And they get really offended. They're like, this is such a poor representation of our people.
This is so not right.
So unfair, and it's so biased. It's just not right. All right. We're going to move on and talk about Matt Gaetz in the House of Representatives.
Do we have to?
Oh, it'll be brief and painless.
Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz makes his move. Yesterday, last night, as a matter of fact, Matt Gaetz left the floor of the House after filing a motion to vacate the chair and oust Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Punchbowl's Jake Sherman reports that when he did that, the Democratic side of the House erupted in laughter.
It is a crap show over there. The Republican Party, Jane, is in disarray.
It is. It's in complete disarray, and it's kind of enjoyable. To tell you the truth.
A little schadenfreude.
That. I love that. The one thing members of a bitter... This is according to the Bulwark. The one thing members of a bitterly divided Congress seem to agree on is the bipartisan and wholly merited loathing of Matt Gaetz. Nobody likes you.
He's a uniter. I mean, you have to look at the positive side of things. Matt Gaetz will unite this divided Congress.
Oh, for sure. A CNN tally indicates at least five House Republicans are supportive of efforts to strip McCarthy of his gavel if all Democrats also line up against him. Over a dozen other Republicans are open to deposing Speaker McCarthy. So now, coming back with that, now McCarthy says that he is going to hold a vote this afternoon.
Yeah, 1:30 p.m. today.
1:30 p.m. today. And at that point, will they take a vote on this?
Well, I think they start, you know, the process and proceed. I think they're going to do, according to the New York Times, a motion to table it, essentially, to start out with. And so I wonder if this will even come to the floor. It might be tabled right off the bat.
Right.
And how the Democrats react. This is really interesting kind of stuff, because certainly this is the Republican circus. This is Republican monkeys. But at least you know Kevin McCarthy. I mean, if he's ousted, what happens then? Now we have a rudderless House. Does anything get done? I mean, we got a 45-day pause right now. We still have things to do. We're still governing to be done. So how Leader Hakeem Jeffries and the Dems play this is going to be interesting. My understanding, the reporting, Hakeem Jeffries telling people to vote their conscience, but they also want to vote in a block.
Right.
So, you know, that I am not going to guess on how this is going to go down. But if I were to predict, I bet he stays as Speaker.
I would say the same thing, because if they remove McCarthy, who are they going to put in there? Louis Gohmert? You know, Paul Gosar?
Yes.
Marjorie?
Matt Gaetz. Of course. Why not? I mean, he's
for
the
sure.
Did you see the press gaggle pictures of him yesterday, man? I mean, he was loving on the steps of the Capitol in his prime. Everybody paying attention to him. The cameras. He was in his glory.
Well, for sure. He loves the attention. He loves being a bomb thrower. He doesn't actually accomplish anything, but I think that's the commonality he has with the rest of people in that far-right caucus, is they don't really want to govern.
Well, if you want to break it, I mean, that's he's doing that job. And him and the other Republican, the hard far-right Republicans are certainly, they're succeeding in that. Well, to a degree. Let's hold off on that, though, too. Obviously, they wanted to shut the government down, and that didn't happen. So, I mean, they're out there trying these things, but they don't seem to be able to get them done.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. John from the Falls checking in on the text line. Kristen Sinema, next Speaker of the House. That would be a disaster, too.
Jane, it's Kirsten. Be nice.
Kirsten Sinema.
I'm so sorry.
We're so used to Kristen.
Sorry, Kirsten Sinema. Yeah, that isn't a good option either. So,
apparently, Matt Gaetz did, again, bring up that you do not have to be a member of the House to be the Speaker of the House, which then makes you wonder, well, what's he thinking? I mean, could the hairy orange carrot be their next Speaker of the House?
Wouldn't that be a huge victory for the House Freedom Caucus? I mean, sure. I'm sure they'd love to put Trump in there. Would that? How is he going to have time, though, first of all, in between all of his trials and trying to campaign? When would he have time to be Speaker?
Multitasking,
oh,
Jane.
Yeah. Oh, yes. He's so good at multitasking, for sure. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Again, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be joining us at 10:30. But we're still curious, if they do remove Speaker McCarthy, who do you think the Republicans would want to put in there next? 844-967-2789. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, just prepare for the zombie apocalypse tomorrow that's coming at 1:20 when all of these things in the vaccine are apparently going to get activated by the 5G, which we have 5G now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all there now. I mean, you could technically, I guess, is it sound activated? I'm curious how this exactly, is there a tone? Because if it's subsonic, then you wouldn't need it to happen during this 1:20 EAS, EBS system test tomorrow. I'm just not clear on the physics of it all, Jane.
We'll go back on Twitter and we'll find out all the details.
Yeah,
and
get all the answers.
We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. On the Civic Media.
See, she's already infected.
Radio Network. Kristen Bry, Greg Bach is on the board. I am joined by my Tuesday co-host, Dominic Salvia, from Devil's Advocates Radio. And you can catch him later on this afternoon along with Mike Crute from 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Right now we're talking about Matt Gaetz. Matty Boy makes his move. He has started the process to try and rid the House of Speaker McCarthy. And now McCarthy is going to hold a vote on this Today,
calling it off. My understanding, 48 hours. So I found a little flow chart here at the Washington Post to help kind of break it down for us. Of course, Gaetz introduced the motion to vacate on Monday, and this kicked off a 48-hour process in which the House can remove the Speaker. So to start out with, they're going to have a motion to table. Now, if they motion to table, it means they take it, they set it on the table, they're not going to vote it, that's it. So if the motion to table is introduced today after 1 o'clock, a majority is needed. If it passes, if the motion to table this passes, and McCarthy survives. If it doesn't, then it goes on to the vote on a motion to vacate. Same thing. All is needed is majority. If the motion to vacate passes, well, then he's out. If the motion to vacate at that point fails, McCarthy survives. So it's a two-step process.
All right. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Curious as to who you think should McCarthy be ousted. And it does not have to be an elected representative to serve in the role as Speaker of the House. Who would the Republicans put forward? Who would be the most reasonable, centrist, most likely to be a uniter?
Lauren Boebert. I mean, I mean, if there is someone who's really working her constituency, I think it's Lauren Boebert. I mean, she knows how to get things
done. I saw the video. It seems like the constituency is working her.
Well, I have to say she's very hands-on in her work.
Ooh, she won't. She won't blow smoke.
No,
up your,
no. Yeah. See, yes. Oh, that's man. All happening.
We're going yes. into the gutter.
Put
in
it
the
together.
First half hour.
Congratulations, Speaker Boebert. Okay, so maybe that's not the case.
A little far fetched, perhaps.
Perhaps.
We don't know.
Right.
That's the problem. There isn't a. There, I'm sure in all of the Congress persons who are sitting there right now. You can pick someone who's like, oh, they'd be very good. Well, we've never heard of them because we only hear about the crazies and Jim Jordan, who's a different kind of crazy.
He is a different kind of crazy. He's a little more calculated kind of crazy. Yeah. Whereas Paul Gosar,
Yeah.
But what's to preclude them from putting someone like Gosar in there? What's to preclude them from putting Donald Trump in there? What's that to preclude them from putting Rudy Giuliani in there?
Oh,
why not?
I'm starting a campaign right now. Jane Mattenair
for
Speaker of the House. I would love to be Speaker of the House. The gavel? I could do things with that gavel.
I mean, I just don't see that. I just don't see it. I mean, number one, McCarthy obviously loves being the 55th Speaker of the House. He said so again today. He's very proud of this.
Oh, good.
And he had a hell of a time. Obviously, what, 13, 14, 15 votes in order to become Speaker.
Right.
So, I mean, Gosar, you know, who really? I mean, if it took McCarthy that long, as long as he's been vying for that job?
Yeah.
Who's going to come in off the back bench, even of the crazies? I just don't see how that happens. I don't see the formula. I don't see the math for that.
I would agree with you, but then why would Gates make this move? How is this going to look if he fails? This is, you know, it's pretty widely known that Gates and McCarthy do not like each other. Although it sounds pretty much like no one likes
Matt Gaetz. Is there a failure? There's no such thing as bad PR. I mean, he's already accomplished everything his goal in this regard, right? And if I mean, there's nothing to say that I know that he could reintroduce this again next week or the following week or the following week or the following week. I mean, for what everything McCarthy gave up in order to have this quote unquote leadership position, he still you know remains to some degree heavily influenced by the Gaetz and the others.
Well,
so
he owes them. He owes them.
He owes them.
He owes them, and they own a pretty big piece of him.
But the fact that he was able to keep the government open, right?
True.
Because
of the Democrats.
Because of the Democrats, no question about it. But that's governance, you know, and that's everything that Matt Gaetz and these Republicans, or at least the hard right Republicans, are against. Oh, we're spending too much money. But wait a minute. Let's look at your guy. Let's look at the tax cuts that your guy put through, Donald Trump specifically.
Yep.
Let's look at the debt increase, the national debt increase, the deficits that increased under your guy. So, you know, spare me if I don't believe all of a sudden you're these fiscal conservatives that want to somehow, you know, slash government spending. I mean, if the wealthy and the top 1% paid their tax, if you look back over the last 40 years, the tax cuts that have been implemented through mostly Republicans and certainly with the help of some Democrats at times, is pretty much about the same of the deficit or the national debt we have right now, if you added it all up.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, that when people talk about the good old days when life in America was good, and you look at the 1950s and the 1960s, the top tax rate was like 92%.
Yeah.
It was way larger than it is right now. And unions were very strong. And we had a very strong middle class. And lowering that tax rate decade after decade after decade has helped to get us to where we are now.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. You leave revenue on the table. That's what's going to happen. If you have a high tax rate like that, it encourages corporations reinvest. If you're going to get taxed to that degree, reinvest in your company, reinvest in your people. You know, but if you can just cash it all out, put it all in your pocket all the time at a very low rate, well, you know what? They're going to do that
for sure, for sure. Why would you let that? Why wouldn't you take advantage of that, right? And do the right thing.
The right thing.
We don't count on that.
No.
All right, we're coming up against the bottom of the hour news. We are going to be joined on the other side with Dan Schaefer, of the recombobulation area. We're going to talk a little Bucks. We're going to talk a little Wisconsin politics. I hope you will stay with us. You're listening to Ask Us Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's all right. It's all right.
Wisconsin, Jane Matt Mayer in for Kristen Bry, joined by Greg Bach on the board, Dominic Selvia in studio, my co-host on Tuesdays, and that music, of course, the finest walk-up music for this person from the recombobulation area. It is the one and only Dan Schaefer. Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Dom. Good morning, Greg. Thanks so much for having me on. Always appreciate the wonderful introduction on
that. Not that I'm competitive at all, Dan, but...
Certainly not.
So we were talking about Matty Boy making his move. Matt Gaetz late yesterday decided to try to get rid of speaking Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, he's it's all circus with Matt Gaetz, right? It's this whole thing is just a circus. But I just wanted to, you know, since you were on the topic, I wanted to share a brief Matt Gaetz story since when I was covering the Milwaukee debate about a month ago. Matt Gaetz was one of the Trump surrogates who made the trip to Milwaukee. Trump himself, of course, didn't make the trip.
Sure.
But Matt Gaetz was there. And as I was covering, I was covering the Democratic, kind of press conference response to the debate. And Matt Gaetz was walking through the lobby of the hotel and was signing Trump signs. There was a group of like Trump sign people who were walking through the hotel as the Democrats were coming in and leaving and all that. And so he stopped and signed a few of these. What I was surprised by, and this has no bearing on, you know, anything political or whatever. I was surprised that Matt Gaetz was kind of shorter than I expected. He always looks kind of tall. Maybe that's just him standing next to Jim Jordan or whatever.
Ooh, zing.
But I was surprised to be, I'm about 6 foot flat and I'm taller than Matt Gaetz, which I expected him. Maybe it's the hair. I don't know what it is, but Matt Gaetz, not that tall. That's my incisive on the ground, reporting take from running into Matt Gaetz at the Hyatt lobby before the Milwaukee debate.
Truly valuable details, Dan Schaefer.
Good to
which,
know, man.
You know, I think it's absolutely critical that the public know this. And I think it's his hair. I think his hair is like a foot.
And the forehead.
If
we're judging, you know.
If we're going to be judgy.
I mean, but, you know, I'm probably still looking up at the man.
Well, now, big news in statewide politics, in Wisconsin politics, because Representative Christina Shanklin, we were on the air, so I assume she has made her announcement by now.
Yeah, I believe she's made the announcement official. There were reports yesterday from Wispolitics and the Journal Sentinel that Katrina Shanklin is going to be running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. I think this is a pretty big deal. I think this is a big deal for that race, big deal for, you know, just the larger landscape of Democrats trying to win back the House. And, you know, there have been a number of candidates who have entered the race on the Democratic side to potentially challenge Derek Van Orden. Rebecca Cook has been running for a while. She ran a strong campaign in 2020, coming in second place in that primary to Brad Paff. But I really think Katrina Shanklin's candidacy is one to watch because, you know, as longtime recombobulation area readers will know, I preview all 100 and some races on the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. There aren't that many competitive races given the gerrymandering of the state legislature.
Right.
But one that Republicans targeted in the last election cycle was Katrina Shanklin's seat. She represents Stevens Point. That is an area that has been, you know, central Wisconsin has been trending a little bit red in the last couple of election cycles. So Republicans circled that one. They tried to flip her seat. Well, the opposite happened. She won by 11 points in 2020. And as they were targeting her, trying to flip her seat, she won by a 15-point margin in her district.
Wow.
In the Stevens Point area. So clearly, you know, she has some skill at the ballot box as a campaigner. And, you know, I wrote in my recap of the midterm elections for the state legislature that she was perhaps the biggest winner of anyone in the state legislature. So I think, and you know, this is a district that Biden has won, but is in the single digits, you know? So this is the fact that she is putting up double digit margins to win re-election. She's been in the state assembly for about a decade. She has spent some time on joint finance. She's spent some time in leadership. And so I really think this is going to be a potentially very strong challenge to in the primary. And, you know, I think she is somebody who could potentially beat Derek Van Orden.
And winning by 15 points in Wisconsin is huge.
Yeah, and especially in this type of district, you know, Stevens Point is kind of one of those swingier regions, you know, one of these blue cities in a, you know, maybe a redder county, whatever it might be. But the fact that she is not only winning, but winning by double digits, I really think speaks to her, you know, ability to take that next step and not just run for a very competitive assembly seat, but run for Congress as well. And I saw that the campaign manager, or I'm not exactly sure what role he's going to have there, but the person who's going to be working with her on this campaign was the guy who ran Janet Protasiewicz's campaign.
Oh,
So I think that just, you know, adds to the nature of how formidable her candidacy could be in that third congressional district.
Do you believe that Van Orden is beatable?
I think he is. I think, you know, this is a district that voted, I think it was about 4% favored Trump in the 2020 election. But Van Orden, you know, he had a lot of support of the National Party when he was running after Ron Kind retired to flip that seat for the Republicans. And Democrats basically abandoned that seat, put no national money from the DCCC to back Brad Paff. And that race ended up being a lot closer than a lot of people projected. And if you look at, you know, the map from when Janet Protasiewicz won, a little bit, you know, aspects of the map from when Tony Evers won, you know, Tammy Baldwin winning in 2018, that Western Wisconsin can really be a swing part of the state and Democrats can win there. And I think, you know, Shanklin, with the experience she has and the results that she has shown in her district really speaks to the ability to run in this larger congressional race.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. So now we have what? Katrina Shanklin, Rebecca Cook, Tara Johnson also, and Aaron Knights, I guess a Harvard Law School student also seeking. That's four folks. Three of the four, Dan, are women. Is there anything to read into that?
Well, it sure seems like there's been a big gender gap in Wisconsin politics.
No.
And it has been growing wider and wider in recent years. Is that a fair assessment over there, Jane?
I think that's a fair assessment, yes.
Yeah, so I do think, you know, women have done well in Wisconsin, particularly in that district. I mentioned, you know, Protasiewicz and Tammy Baldwin, a number of the, you know, Rebecca Dallet and... I'm blanking on the other Wisconsin Supreme Court justice's name at the moment, but you know, women have done well there. And I think that it does not seem like a coincidence that the three top candidates, you know, I think the Aaron Knights is kind of also ran type of candidate in this race. But yeah, I think that is interesting.
Well, and I'm curious too, because I would think that there would be all kinds of things to work with for campaign ads for all of the Democratic challengers to Derek Van Orden. You can just look at his Wikipedia page and pick out things that you would like to highlight. You know, he was at the January 6th Stop the Steal rally. He was present as the Capitol of the United States was under attack on January 6th. The incident at the library, where he confronted a teenage library worker pretty aggressively about some LGBTQ books that were in the library. He was arrested in August of 2021 at the Eastern Iowa Airport in Cedar Rapids trying to carry a fully loaded Sauer handgun through security, where he initially pleaded not guilty, later waived his rights and pleaded guilty. He had to pay fines and complete a gun safety program, but this was all known before he was elected, so I guess maybe the one they could focus on, and I really wish they would release the videotape of him yelling at the Senate pages, apparently after having a pretty drunken evening with a bunch of his constituents at his office, to get off the floor and call it swearing at them and all those things. If we could just get access to that footage, I think that would I think that would just be fun.
Release the Senate page cut.
Well, it's also one of those stories that breaks through. You know, there's so many of these different little, if you're really paying attention to the nuance of the House, there could be all these different things. But that was a story, Jerry Van Orden potentially drunkenly yelling at a bunch of kids. You know, that story broke through. And I think, you know, Rebecca Cook was doing a lot of fundraising off of that. And I think that is going to be one of those moments that is going to end up in one of those Democratic attack ads on the airwaves next year. So, I think he's vulnerable. We don't know exactly what the maps might look like for that district. You know, I think the focus on making any changes to the maps have been on the state legislature more than Congress, and I think rightly so. But this has been the most competitive congressional district in the state for some time. And Derek Van Orden, you know, kind of, I saw him in a video recently with Marjorie Taylor Greene too. You know, he's just like, seems like that wing of the House Republicans as well. I think there's going to be a lot to go after with him for the Democrats. And I think, you know, candidate like Katrina Shankland, who has a lot of like experience as a legislator on a lot of key issues, is gonna be a factor.
Well, and you know, the penchant for Van Orden to go after young adults, older kids, young adults. You're talking about teenagers, 17-year-old librarian. And not only did he get in her face and yell at her, he checked out all the LGBTQ books he didn't like, so nobody else could get them. I mean, yeah. What? And I eventually apparently brought them back. The same thing with the Senate pages. I mean, these are 16, 17-year-old kids, man.
This is an unhinged guy.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Off the deep end. And there's, you know, the fact that he's won this race and the Democrats didn't want to really put any funds against him was such a misfire to begin with. And hopefully they right that wrong. And whoever, you know, emerges from this primary gets the Brinks truck backed up to help him out and flip that district back.
And I still don't understand that, Dan. I don't understand why the DCCC just dropped that ball and essentially let the Republicans take that seat. That's really disappointing and extraordinarily short-sighted.
Well, and we saw what investing in a statewide race can make an impact in some of those cities. You know, you saw the lines from like UW-Eau Claire during the spring election this year. Eau Claire, La Crosse, Stevens Point, these are places that are really going to turn out for Democrats, I think, you know, in the next election cycle. And if the national party can give that a boost, that can make a difference in statewide races, yeah, too. That can make a difference in, you know, for Tammy Baldwin, for Joe Biden, all the way, you know, you invest at the bottom of the ticket, it's going to make an impact at the top of it, too. So I think that that's, you know, hopefully that's something that they do there.
Well, it's going to be interesting going forward. And we can take one real quick call. We have Bill from Oconomowoc on the phone. We always love to hear from Bill. Bill, we got about 2 minutes left. What do you want to say?
Okay, here goes. You guys have too much fun on the radio. I wish I was part of it. But here's what you ought to do. You ought to start nominating these guys for MVP for the crazy team, the Super Bowl team. There are so many characters in the far right that need to have some kind of acclaim of the number one crazy in the country or whatever. It's really interesting how you put humor with something that could drive a person crazy with this nonsense that goes on in the country, but you use humor to work it through. So I don't know if that has any bearing, but if you're going to have a goat, I'll send you some nominees.
Goat of the crazies, Bill. Ooh, that'd be a tough competition, and unfortunately,
that'd be a fun bracket.
It really would.
A lot of people eligible.
But I think the winner would be delighted. I think the winner would be delighted to be the number one of the number one in the crazy caucus. Bill, from Econo Walk, thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. You can always check in 844-967-2789. Dan Schaefer is here as we recompopulate. We will be right back after the break. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bach-Rye, who is home with baby Francis Louise. And Greg Bach is on the board. My Tuesday co-host Dominic Salvia is here from Devil's Advocates. Catch him later today, along with Mike Crute at 4 to 6 on the Complete Civic Media Radio Network. And then Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. Dan, have you seen any pictures of little Frankie Lou yet?
I sure have.
You have?
I'm so excited for them.
Isn't
yeah,
she
absolutely.
Adorable? She sent Greg and I a picture of the baby after yesterday's show, and she looked really not happy. I mean, she's like 4 days old, and she was, woo, there was attitude coming from that little munchkin. And I asked,
shocking.
I said, what, did she not like the show? Did she listen to the show, and she's not happy with the show? What's going on? Anyway, we're so
maybe she's worked up by whatever Republicans are
that's
doing.
Right, that's
sure,
right.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Really and dialed into the news, I'm sure.
Well, she's Kristen and Mike's kids, so she's going to be on top of things. We're going to switch gears a little bit. First, I guess we'll take a phone call from Sharky from Racine at 8. No, okay. Thank you. Never mind. We're going to move on to the Bucks. Dan Schaefer
the
is
Bucks.
A huge Bucks fan, and there was big, big Bucks news this week. And I have to say, I love so much that he picked the number 0. It just makes me happy. It just makes me, I don't know why, but I just love that he's going to be 0.
Damian Lillard, he's been number 0 his whole career in Portland.
Has he really?
He'll be number 0 with the Bucks. You know, he has this kind of underdog mentality where he's counted out. He went to a small college, not one of the major schools or anything like that. And I think that from Damian Lillard joining the Milwaukee Bucks as number 0, having that underdog mentality, I think that's going to be a perfect fit with the Bucks in Milwaukee. You know, being the small market team, trying to hang with the big dogs. But yeah, I'm super excited about this trade for the Bucks. I was absolutely blindsided by it last week. Did not see this one coming at all.
Dan, just to let you know, I told them last week when this happened, when I went to the open mic that day. So it happened last Wednesday. I went to the open mic at the Laughing Tap, and the people in the room were like clapping, hugging, and just like... It's like they had won another championship. They were so excited.
Well, there have been a number of times over the years. I, of course, write a weekly political opinion column, but there have been 3 times where I've broken from that, where I've like, all right, I've got to write about this Bucks thing. So it was the Damian Lillard trade last week. It was when Giannis signed the Supermax to stay in Milwaukee, and it was when the Bucks won the finals. So if that gives you an indicator of the magnitude of what this trade means, you know, all summer everybody thought Damian Lillard was going to be headed to Miami. The Bucks come in out of nowhere, make this trade, and now the Bucks have 2 of the 10 best players in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. I think this is going to be an extraordinarily exciting team to watch. I was in the Deer District on Saturday for the welcome rally to bring, you know, Damian Lillard landed and came straight to the arena with his family. They had 5,000 people packing the Deer District. It felt like we were back in that playoff run from a couple years ago. The energy and excitement in the city was just off the charts. It was something else.
Dan, it is great to see that energy, and I will miss Holiday. But what's your sense, man? You know, the drama around the trade. Jimmy Butler from the Heat apparently casting some shade, talking about, hey, maybe should, you know, some interference, whatever, you know, talking when they weren't supposed to be. I don't pay as much attention as you two, Dan. What do you know about that side of it?
Well, it seems like the Heat are just a little bit salty that they missed out on their guy, you know? All year, Damian Lillard was saying he wanted to go to the Heat. He wanted to, you know, join forces with Jimmy Butler and the rest of the team there. They'd never had a good trade offer, and so Portland just kept saying no to their offer, and they just never had the pieces to make it work. And like you mentioned, the Bucks had to part with Drew Holiday to make this one happen. We will, of course, miss him in Milwaukee, and his jersey will be going in the rafters when the time comes. But you know, I think between the Heat being salty over that deal, between Drew Holiday going to Boston, it's going to be quite the year. With the Bucks, the Heat, and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, the rivalries just got another, added some fuel to those rivalries a little bit. That's for sure. Well, so it's going to be a really fun year.
And Giannis seems really excited about this. And I think, didn't he say this week that he very much wants to end his NBA career with the Bucks, provided that they really want to win. And this has kind of given him more confidence that that's what they want.
It seems like they're responding to Giannis's wishes. They're making moves to try to win now.
Yeah, Giannis had been dialing up the pressure on the organization this summer and saying that, you know, he would want to stay in Milwaukee only if they remained competitive. And, you know, obviously a move like this, when you're trading for, you know, one of the 10 best players in the NBA, one of the best scorers of his generation, a guy who's under contract for at least 3 more years in Milwaukee too, I think that certainly increases the odds that Giannis signs that next contract and stays in Milwaukee. And, you know, his comments from Media Day yesterday, he all but said that this is going to lead to him, you know, signing another deal in Milwaukee. So, hey, we're going to have a finals contender in Milwaukee for the foreseeable future, which, as a longtime Bucks fan, watching years and years and decades of mediocrity, I still can't quite wrap my head around it. Frankly, it is still a little bit discombobulating that this is like great
branding
of this era.
I don't doubt that at all. Speaking of recombobulating, how can people find your award-winning column, Dan Schaefer?
Well, you can, of course, find me on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer, where I occasionally tweet about things other than the Milwaukee Bucks. But you can also find my work at the recombobulationarea.news, Recombobulation Area on Substack.
It's $5, right? $5 a month?
$5 a month. I know Jane's a subscriber. How about you, Greg? Are you on there yet?
I just paid off some credit cards, so look forward to that. No pressure, Dan. Thanks a lot.
Well, and one more Giannis.
Sorry, putting you on the spot.
One more Giannis thing. I think now that he's met Bratz, I think we've locked him up for good.
There's no way that
Once
was
you've
his
had a Bratz in Milwaukee, you're never leaving, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. He's locked in now, and hopefully it's going to be a great season.
Hey, Dan, real quick, when is the next deal? When is Giannis's contract up? When does it all go down?
So he is signed for the next 2 years, but he is eligible to sign an extension now. But he said during the media day yesterday that it makes the most sense for him financially to sign that extension next year. So I think there will be a lot of little consternation about, you know, what? Oh, why is he waiting to sign it? It makes money. He's going to make money next year if he signs it.
Dan Schaefer, our guest from the Recombobulation Area. Thanks so much, Dan. We will see you next Tuesday. Stay close. Top of the Hour News is coming up next. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.